It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, last year, the plan going into Buffalo was run the ball a bunch, keep the game tight and have a chance late on. And then Sean Payton spiraled mid-game and started, you know, throwing the ball over the yard and got us in trouble. And you saw where it went. You even saw the altercation on the sideline where Vance Joseph was trying to calm him down and get him back to the game plan. And so that's the thing. I just don't think there's a lot of faith here in Sean Payton sticking with the run game when he, you know, he's got to be the smartest guy in the room throwing it all over the yard. I mean, Bo Nix led the NFL in passing attempts this year, which is an absurd thing if you've ever watched this offense.
Our guest just before, Benjamin Albright, didn't ask him a certain question, or the question, to be fair, but you can maybe discern from that clip, maybe he's not the biggest Sean Payton guy.
It kind of sounds like that. Frustrating. I felt frustration coming through in some of those comments. Yeah. I also am not a big Sean Payton guy.
No, we're working on that.
Despise Sean
We're building.
Payton.
We're trying to build on that.
I was happy to have this thing yesterday, this exchange with the reporter who made the mistake of using football lingo and apparently hasn't earned his union card, in Sean Payton's opinion, to use football lingo like that in a room for football.
I do hate that, though. Well, I don't respect Payton for doing that, what he did, but you also should not. Maybe this isn't what happened, but you also should not pretend by the words you choose to know what you don't know. That is not necessarily the case here.
That's what you can't know. And maybe Payton knows that, but I don't know. You need to let the world in on that. If you know that, maybe you think that and you're wrong. If you're Sean Payton, I don't know. How does he know what this guy knows about football?
The best way to do it, if you don't respect the person asking you the question, would be to give them like the pat answer,
yeah,
and then call them over after, especially if he's young and you're in your 60s.
Right.
Like, just, hey, you know, next time, talk to me like we're really real people. We're co-people.
I felt for the guy because I was a young person in Sabres news conferences. I really didn't go to a lot of Bills news conferences. And I would go and I was, you know, the people that were in that room were, you know, it'd been like people that I grew up reading in the newspaper. I want to fit in. If I'm going to open my mouth, I want it to come out right. I want it to sound like I know what I'm talking about, like I belong here.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just...
No, that's true. There's definitely both. It's challenging.
Yeah.
But I think, well, not to say this as somebody in those press conferences, very few of which I ever go to anymore, but just in general, like in an interview, sometimes this is something like when I get the chance to talk to young people, this is something I like to say. It can feel maybe like a stupid question. It has the chance to be if it's too simplistic, but those can be the best questions. And those are the opposite of, you know, using the jargon.
Mm-hmm.
The jargon is such a turnoff. Whether it's from the coach or from the media or from anybody, it's just such a turnoff. The presumption, I'm sorry to get sideways on you, but the presumption the person makes that everybody listening is going to know what they mean in an effort to sort of sound smart, it's just like, what a counterproductive effort that is. Just ask the simple question. Ask the why question as opposed to like the what does it say about your team question. Lots of ways you can.
Yeah.
I'm sort of getting off on one of my soapboxes.
Soapbox. You know, wow.
Look at that.
Has that been TM'd yet? Like that could be something.
Not by me.
It's a little late in the game for you to debut something like that.
See, that would have been a better Twitter handle.
Soapbox. Yeah.
And Soap Talk.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't really make sense. Because it looks like it's supposed to say shop.
Right.
Shop talk is a term, but is a phrase.
Well, I kind of like that too. Well, whatever. Anyway, I hate Sean Payton, and I didn't need this exchange with this young reporter, young sounding reporter. The person could be 50 years old for all I know, but the person asking the question sounded young, and used the phrasing attacking downhill or something, and Payton just had to smack him like the jerk that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Not a fan. Bounty Gate. What else do you need? The score, all-time scoreboard. All-time. In a violent sport like football, full of violent people, he's like at the top of the heap. He was caught as the head coach of a team that had a payment system for injuring opponents.
Is that bad? Is that wrong?
I think that is highly offensive. Wow. What a jerk.
Well, you know, if sort of play along with the theme that we've semi-constructed in here, where it's like hating on the other team's coach, no matter who they are. Not every Bills opponent's coach is kind of equally hateable, but imagine a Sean Payton, Mike Vrabel AFC championship. I mean, are you watching?
Yes, I'm watching, but I'm annoyed.
Imagine one of those guys getting a trophy. No thanks.
No. Yeah, no.
What is the NFC? Ben Johnson, Mike McDonald, who we really don't maybe know that much about, Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McDonald, Ben Johnson versus Sean McVay.
I mostly like...
I do too.
I'm
okay with all of them.
I was...
Until the Super Bowl.
I was skeptical of Johnson for a little bit earlier this year, but he's come off great. I mean, even if you think, like, ripping his shirt off and swearing about the Packers, which weren't the same, you know, post-game locker room scene. I think they were, like, back-to-back weeks. He's in it with the players, and that comes across. Like, they are into him because he's acting that way with them.
Because he's winning.
Sure. Of course, the winning. You're not celebrating like that. You're ripping your shirt off after a 38-3 loss. You're a jackass. So, of course, the winning. But it there's a connectivity there that I wasn't sure he would have. I remember talking to Matthew Collar about this in the summer, and he raised a concern that I thought was valid. He's one of these offensive guru guys. Is he going to be able to communicate and reach the guys, right? He's going to draw it up. He can draw it up like a witch, but is he going to be able to get to everyone? And I think he's managed to do that, so full credit to him. Yeah, I like all the NFC coaches. I don't know much about Mike McDonald, but he certainly hasn't done anything to annoy me. I know that.
These things are never black and white, but I will use Ben Johnson down the road to the culture crowd. Like, he had to win. He had to get Caleb Williams off and score. And then, okay, now if I'm going to be this madman in our semi-private sessions, you're going to have to like it. You're going to want to like it because I've taken a team that hasn't been good in forever. And how has he done it? Has he done it through his act? Or he's done it by his mind and his scheme and getting Williams, a super talent, to a really good place, if not a great place. You know, he's not perfect. But the play to Odunze last week is amazing to kind of save the game for the Bears. And so somehow or another, Johnson has gotten Williams to a very useful place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were pretty lucky for a lot of the season. That obviously helps. And then I think you can go, you know, Sam Panayotovic is interesting on him because he has mocked Johnson and the Bears scene quite often this year. But you get to a point where, like, when they won in Philadelphia, I remember hearing Sam say, I can't make fun of this anymore.
Right.
They ran right through the Eagles.
It's working. Yeah.
It's working.
Right.
And so there's your culture, right? Like, everybody will debate which comes first, but you've got to be able to show your... These are men. These are...
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Professionals, you've got to be able to show them that you deserve to be heard. This is what we're going to do. And what that could be: offensive scheme, defensive scheme, McDermott in his time, fourth down, like all the Dan Campbell. Why are we doing this? Here's why we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to communicate it.
Right.
Well, and be believable.
Yeah. That's the thing. I, I, I think you have to have both things. You got to be able to deliver the goods and put guys in a position to win so that they can believe in it. But then you also have to, I think, be able to deliver there's got to be a connectivity there. And that's the thing I wasn't sure about Johnson, but he's delivered both. And I don't think one without the other. McDaniel, especially last year, I think was this. He's great mind. But is he reaching 53 guys or enough of them to make it matter with his style, with how he does it? And I think the answer right now is still no. But Ben Johnson has brought you both. And credit to him. To get that franchise on their feet and running right now is a feat. I mean, because you just said it, like Sam, anybody that has grown up watching the Bears, observing the Bears, analyzing the Bears, like this might be a heavier lift. Maybe there's not a heavier lift in the whole league than turning that team into an offensive, explosive, scary team. Wow. The Bears? I mean, there's a litany of stats out there about how, they're leading receivers all time and the best quarterback years they've ever had and everything. And it's like, it's embarrassing, but they're a whole different animal now. And he deserves a lot of the credit for that.
It is amazing that their new all-time leading receiver is Luther Burden. That's how scant. Right. We're going to have a lot more conversations if we live long enough over the years about Mike McDaniel. Because they did finish 5-3 when everybody had fired him with Quinn Ewers because they're done with Tua. Like if he lost the room, he kept the room because that
got it back or something. Yeah, whatever.
They listened to him well enough to compete. They beat the Bills' butts pretty good in that game and a few other good wins. So yeah, we're gonna hear a lot more from him. He's gonna land somewhere and wherever that is as a coordinator or possibly a coach. I doubt it. Head coach, but there's going to be a lot more written about him. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. Sabres and Flyers tonight downtown. Pregame at 6:30. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.